7. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? For if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Someone slapped you on the right cheek. Jesus says, give him your left cheek. What is Jesus saying here? Someone asks you to carry his bag and walk 1 mile, you walk 2 miles. Someone take your outer coat, you give him your inner coat. Almost insane reaction. An insane reaction. These are people who are punishing you, right? He slapped you. What is it? What does it mean to be slapped? It's the most humiliating thing, right? To be slapped. To slap somebody. Most humiliating. The person is punishing you. What is Jesus saying here? What does it mean? How do you explain this? What kind of a life are you advocating that we live? You mean someone slapped you and you're not going to, you're going to be hurt, and then you're going to tell them that, well, it's not so bad, I give you the other cheek. Is that what our Lord Jesus means when he said that? Well, if you think carefully, it's almost an insane life. When someone punish you, you are willing to bear the greater punishment. If you slap me, right, slapping in all cultures is the same, most humiliating. You can hit the body or anywhere else, but don't slap the face. Slapping the face is most humiliating. We all know that. Our natural reaction is that I will slap you back. But what is the Lord saying here? You slap my face. Instead of slapping you back, I have a heart within me that is so changed by my God that I have the heart to think, why did you slap me? Why did you slap me? So this is a different heart. Someone slapped you. Instead of reacting and nursing the wound and the pain, rather you ask yourself the question, why did he slap me? That's why Jesus says, if you want to talk about the law, Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. You recall when the lawyers asked Jesus to explain the law, the Ten Commandments, Jesus explained it succinctly. He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. But love your neighbor too. And how are you to love your neighbor? You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How you love yourself, love your neighbor. In other words, here is speaking, and the Lord is teaching us, we are all, we may say, as fallen creatures, selfish beings. We all love ourselves. Right? So Jesus says, how you love yourself, love your neighbor. You do not need to love your neighbor more than yourself. but love your neighbor how you love yourself. That's good enough. That's the law of God. It's equitable. I'm willing to love my neighbor as myself. Will I be willing to act in this way? No other reason you can give that you can do this act, right? No other reason how to agree to suffer more pain. He's willing to condescend himself to win the offended brother. He is willing to condescend himself to win the offended brother. There is no other reason that if you slap me this side, I will give you the other side. There's no other reason than love. Only when you realize that you must have hurt him a lot that you get such a reaction. Right? The sanctified heart, mind would think, why did the person slap me like that? What caused that? I must have hurt the person a lot to cause that person to behave in this way, to slap me in this way. Only when you realize you must have hurt him a lot that you get such a reaction. So love is more concerned about others than yourself. This is the essence of God's law. This is the essence of God's law. It's a sign. A sign. So you know where you are going to sit. So it was a day there already, 2 days, not really sleeping, very tired. And on the way back, in the bus, went to my seat, and there was someone sitting there. And he would not move. And I said to him that, you know, this is my ticket, this is my seat. This is my seat. He will not move. And his dear wife was behind him, tried to talk to him. So I had to talk to the driver. What do I do now? Every one of us is assigned a seat. This is my seat. This here says this, this. And there were not many seats that I know in the lower deck. So what to do? I would like to go home, you know. The man would not budge. And so, we were not ready to go yet. And we were then told to take a break outside. So I was outside, and I decided to reason with the man. So I said to him that, you know, I got the ticket and this is the seat there. You know, if you don't give me the seat, where do I sit? I can't sit with your wife. And so he began to get very upset. Began to get very angry. And, you know, it was a confrontation. And I could feel myself boiling up also. When you're boiled up, you don't want to think, right? When you're boiled up, you know, you just want to clench your fists and you just want to, you know, whatever that man says, I'm not concerned. Right? You know, when you're tired, this is the kind of response that you would think, you see. So, wow. There was another person with me, and so I was held back, held back. And so the driver said to me, "Hey, there's a seat upstairs, you know. There's a seat upstairs." So the person reasoned with me. He said, "That's a friend. If you go into a confrontation with him that day, you'll probably end up in a police station somewhere, you know, and you'll probably not be able to go home that day. And you are in foreign territory. What are you doing?" Of course, when you're angry, you're angry. Right? You're upset, you're upset. Then you have to pray and seek the Lord to calm your heart, calm your mind, and said, you know, unclench your fist and humble yourself and go on upstairs. So I turned my back, go on upstairs, and it was dissolved. Behind me, I hear the wife scolding the husband. You know, well, I thank God that you could hold yourself and not let yourself overtake yourself. We are able to reason in the spirit and to restrain ourselves. And this is what it said here: recompense to no man evil for evil. The Apostle Paul is reiterating here what our Lord Jesus teaches in Matthew 5:38. "Ye have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil." So what our Lord is saying here is He forbids an unforgiving and revengeful spirit by being quick to take offense, retaliating, and having a quarrelsome and contentious demeanor. A quarrelsome and contentious demeanor. A keenness to assert one's right is contrary to the mind of Christ. The world may be at peace with such attitudes, but our Lord says He resists not evil. But rather, you are to have a spirit of universal love and charity. You should put away all such malice. That's why Jesus went on to say in Matthew 5:39b, "But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, give him also thy cloak. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." What the Lord is saying here is this: you slap my face, instead of slapping you back, I have a heart within me that is so changed by my God that I would ask, "Why did you do that?" The Lord is saying to us that the heart is so changed. You have so much of God's love that my reaction is not, "You slapped me," but I realize that I must have hurt you. If I can appease you, if I can do anything to appease you, and that's not stupid, we said, you know, to be able to appease the other person. That is the essence of His law. Are we willing? Are we concerned with the other person's feelings and concern, or concerned about ourselves? Jesus says, if you want to talk about the law, love thy neighbor as thyself. How you love yourself, love your neighbor. And that's enough. May the Lord grant us His grace to love our neighbor as ourselves. provide things honest in the sight of all men. William MacDonald, he said well. But this delight in vengeance should have no place in the lives of those who have been redeemed. Instead, they should act honorably in the face of abuse and injury, as in all the circumstances of life. To have regard means to take thought for or to be careful to do. To take care to keep your Christian testimony before God and men in the face of persecution. Let the Christian's response be seasoned with charity. And so Paul chides members of the church in Corinth who takes one another to court for disputes they could not solve amicably. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6 to 7. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? This is the story of the martyrdom of Gratian Staines and his two sons. In January 1999, Graham Staines with his two sons, Philip 10 and Timothy 6, were mobbed by radical Hindus trapped inside their vehicle in India and burned alive. The three charred bodies were recovered clinging to each other. Graham Staines and spent 34 years serving the people of India in the name of Jesus. He was a director of the leprosy mission in Paripada, Orissa. He left behind his widow Gladys and his daughter Esther. Her response was in every paper in India to the glory of Christ. She said, a few days after the martyrdom of her husband and sons, I've only one message for the people of India. She says, I'm not bitter, neither am I angry, but I have one great desire that each citizen of this country should establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who gave his life for their sins. Let us burn hatred and spread the flame of Christ's love. Everyone thought she would move back to Australia. No. She said God had called them to India and she would not leave. She said, my husband and our children have sacrificed their lives for this nation. India is my home. I hope to be here and continue to serve the needy. Perhaps, most remarkable of all, listen to this, all who are teenagers. Her daughter, Esther, was asked how she felt about the murder of her dad. And the 13-year-old said, I praise the Lord, he found my father worthy to die for him. She must have said it, you know, with a heart that is so cut, pricked, so hurt and yet strengthened by the love of God. May God bless us with his wisdom to shine for him, though it be at a price. May God's mercy be upon us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us by thy grace, and we plead that thou wouldst pour down thy love upon us this new week, so that we would receive a new commandment, the mind of Christ, and that we may be endowed with thy spirit to give a sanctified response for thy own honor and glory. Strengthen us, bless us and our families for thy own name's sake. So I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.